master, that relationship can be stronger. But you know, whatever I'm seeing is not. So please explain on that.
That's a very good question. Based on Hari Bhakti Vilas. And the devotee is asking a question about the Puranas and the Tantras and various Vedic literatures. And they explain that the Shishya aspiring for Diksha from Sadguru, these Shastras compiled by the great Rishis and incarnations of the Lord, like Vedavyas, they're giving some in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Vilas number 1 and 2. Number 1 and 2, there's many discussions about Guru, Guru Lakshan, Guru, what are the Lakshan of Guru, what is the Lakshan of disciple, what are the qualities of the Guru and the Shishya, and who is disqualified, who is an unqualified person for initiation, which is very strict requirements to even consider the one-year waiting program or the four-year waiting program. If a disciple has these this, such and such qualities, he's not even under consideration. He's rejected just on the basis of his janam guna, the qualities of his birth. So the fortune and opportunity to receive diksha from a guru, according to the Puranas and according to the ancient shastras of the Vedas, as quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, are very, very strict. Practically speaking, because it says the disciple must be healthy, he must be youthful, he must be good-natured, it sounds like the qualifications for a disciple that are described there, it's as if he's a pure devotee. He's a pure devotee when he approaches the guru. And if you look now in Kali Yuga, the same Vedas are also saying, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, or Jayati Jayate Shudra. That this is in Mahabharata. In this age of Kali, practically every human being has the svabhava, the nature and qualities of a Shudra. What are the qualities of a Shudra? Practically everybody in this age has the qualities of a Shudra, which are laziness, anger. This is tamagun. Laziness, anger, violence, lack of patience, and uncontrolled senses, and immoral and corrupted minds, and deceitful character, and lying. All these qualities, which are quite commonplace in Kali Yuga, are the qualities and lakshana of every human being, be he a Brahman or Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Antija, Mlecha, Yavan, etc. Of course, there are exceptions. There are exceptional pure Brahmins and exceptional pure Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, etc. But they're few and far between. Where can I find one? In a museum somewhere? Where can I see one? Here's a museum. Here's a living pure Vaishya who follows all the Dharma Shastras and rules and regulations and vidhi nishad of a Vaishya. And here's an example of a Brahmin. Samodamas tapashocham shantir arjam evicha gyana vijnanam ashtikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Krishna is telling in 18th chapter of the Gita, what are the qualities of the Brahmin? What are the qualities of the Kshatriya? What are the qualities of the Vaishya? So we don't find. So the Shastras are saying one thing, reality is saying something else. So therefore, there has to be some adjustments. Not adjustments of principle, but adjustments of detail. So to understand the Shastra itself is very, very difficult. That's why Lord Shiva spoke this very wonderful verse, which quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And the actual verse comes in the Puranas, but I only have my notes here where it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Madhya Lila chapter 24, verse 3:1-3. It establishes two points which are essential to understand the Veda, to understand Gita, and to understand Bhagavatam, and all the writings of the Sadgoswamis and the Purvacharyas of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And what are the two points? That transcendental knowledge can only be understood by a bhakta and by hearing from a bhakta. So Lord, what I'm about to repeat is a very profound and amazing verse by Lord Shiva, who is one of the Mahajans. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Yamaraj is describing the Dwadasa Mahajans. He says, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Janaka, Bhishma. So he says, Shambhu. Shambhu is one of the Mahajans. Janaka, like this, and it goes on, Bali, and Vyasakir. So see, these are the great teachers. So Lord Shiva says here, this is a Puranic verse which Lord Chaitanya quoted to Sanatana Goswami. Aham vedmi shuko veti, vyaso veti na veti va. Bhaktya bhagavatam grayam na buddhya na chatikaya. Sometimes we hear, and often it's better than nothing. We are told, and I've also told, and I've been told by gurus and teachers, we should study the Bhagavatam along with the tikas of the acharyas. Tika means the commentary. And there are 11 famous commentaries on the Bhagavatam that are accepted by Vaishnavas, which includes Sanatana Goswami, Brihat Vaishnav Toshini, Sri Jiva Goswami, Lagu Vaishnav Toshini, then Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sararta Darshini, and then Vallabhacharya, then so many are there. Of course, the famous Sridhar Swami, which is called Subodhani Tika. So all these tikas are there. So we have the Bhagavatam, we have the tikas. Of course, even Srila Prabhupada from ISKCON, he wrote so many commentaries. Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, they have commentaries here and there, I think so. Certainly Srila Prabhupada from ISKCON has. So those are all important, valuable commentaries. But Lord Shiva, who's a great Mahajan, Dwadasa Mahajan, he's saying that's not enough. You have the Sanskrit shlokas of Gita. Like, for example, I have about 9 Gitas in English, 9 or 10 Gitas. And one of them is the commentaries in English of Sridhar Swami and Baladeva Dibhushan, Vishnu Chakravarti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many, many, and Sridhar, the modern Sridhar Swami, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, his Bhagavad Gita Tika, and I have the original Sridhar Swami, the Advaitin Sridhar Swami. So all those, and still the Bhagavad Gita is so deep and so complex. I have 10 different commentaries in English. That's the Bhagavad Gita, which is only 700 verses. So the ocean of transcendental knowledge is unlimited. Ananta Vidya Sagar. The Sagar, the Sindhu of the knowledge, is unlimited, Ananta. So he's saying, what is Lord Shiva saying? He's saying, Aham, he's speaking, Aham Vedmi. He says, I know the Bhagavatam. And Shukadev Goswami knows. In fourth canto of Bhagavatam, there's the prayers of Lord Shiva and very beautiful stotrams of Lord Shiva. It's called Rudra Gita. We have the Uddhava Gita and the Rudra Gita and the Gopi Gita and the Venu Gita and the Pranaya Gita and the Brahma Gita and Uddhava Gita. Many, many Gitas are there. You have the Yuga Gita, then you have the Mahishi Gita, then you have the Devastuti, and Brahmastuti. Devastuti is 10th canto, chapter 2, prayers to Krishna in the womb. In Mathura, Devaki was carrying Devaki Nandan Sri Krishna, and all the Devatas came and offered prayers. Then in chapter 14, after he was humiliated and corrected, the Vimohan Leela, Brahma offered Brahma Stuti. And incidentally, for your reference, since you're young students of the bhakti, these two particular chapters, 10th canto, chapter 2, and 10th canto, chapter 14, chapter 2 is called Deva Stuti. That's easy for you because you know Telugu and Hindi and English and all these things. So it means stutis or stavas, prayers by the devatas. Shiva, Brahma, Varuna, etc., Indra. And then chapter 14 is Brahma Stuti, Chaturmukh Brahma. So our acharyas and my teachers who have taught me something, they said these two chapters are basically the most important chapters of the Bhagavatam to reveal the philosophical points of the Bhagavatam, which means Bhagavan. The glories of Bhagavan Sri Krishna are perfect. The Bhagavatam is 18,000 shlokas, all about Krishna, devotees, and many, many things. But these two chapters, canto 10, chapter 2, and canto 10, chapter 14, they have essential verses there for understanding Krishna. Especially look at Brahma Stuti. So many verses about sadhana, about Bhagavan. Samashritaye palava plavam, that's one. And then Nate Nukampam Shushamikshamano. They're all classic gold, what do you say, gold records, you know, in the old days you sold a lot of your recordings, it's like a gold record. They're Oscar winners, they're trophy winners. So that's these two chapters and another chapter which many devotees, when they're reading ISKCON's Krishna book or they're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, they skip over. It's called the Shruti Stuti. Shruti Stuti means prayers by the personified Vedas. Shruti Stuti, that's 10th canto, chapter 87. And there's Vishnu Chakravarti gives some of his longest tikas in the entire Bhagavatam in that chapter. And it's there's an ocean of amazing and wonderful teachings about bhakti bhajan, about Bhagavatam, about Bhagavan Sri Krishna. In the 10th canto, chapter 87. When I was a new devotee, back in the 70s, I was reading Krishna book, and every time I got to that chapter, because it's not lila, it's just philosophy, questions and philosophy. So, heavy philosophy. I said, I skip over 87, I go to 88, about Brikasura. Brikasura got a benediction from Shiva that he could crack anybody's heads. Then he wanted to crack Shiva's head. And then, because we like stories, we're Shudras in Kali Yuga. We like Ramayana, we like Mahabharata, and we like the movies and cinema. We like stories, philosophy, Sandesh, Tattva. Oh, my head hurts. Put on some little Krishna cartoons. Put on some little Krishna cartoons really quick. I'm getting a splitting headache from all this philosophy. So we that's our unfortunate plight in the Kali Yuga. Manda Samanda Matayo. Told in the Bhagavatam, we're slow and lazy. So he's saying, Lord Shiva says, I know Bhagavatam and Shukadev knows. Then he says, Vyas Veti Naveti. Vyasadev Veti Veti Naveti Va. Very nice. Va 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 na va va. He's like, Vyaso Veti Naveti Va. This is the Bhagavat. Written by Vyas, compiled by Vyas. And Lord Shiva is saying, Vyasadeva may know the Bhagavatam and may not know. So you're thinking, I know the Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedas and he wrote the Vedanta Sutra himself. And then he thought he wasn't satisfied. Narada Muni said, write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra to explain it with stories for all of us folks in Kali Yuga. Because the Puranas are for people of Kali Yuga and the Upanishads are for Satyayuga and Treta and Dwapara. They're the highest pramanic, shakshi, highest pramanic proof, highest authority of the Vedic literature is the Upanishads. So he wasn't happy because he didn't bring out, not because he didn't tell stories. He told so many stories in Vishnu Purana and all the other Purans. But because he didn't bring out the ras, the Mahabhav, the Prem Ras of the Brijvasis. Although he described Krishna's Leela in Padma Puran, and he described Krishna's Leela, he means Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva described Krishna's Leela in Padma Puran, and he described Krishna's Leela in Skanda Puran, and he described Krishna's Leela, well, that was another Vyas, Vaishampayana. Vaishampayana Vyas, who's not Veda Vyas, a different one. Vaishampayana Vyas, he wrote Hari Vamsh Puran. Hari Vamsh Puran. It's one of the Purans. It's like 19th Puran. It's not Bhagavad, it's another Puran. He described Krishna's Leela with all kinds of interesting details from other Puranas which you don't find in Srimad Bhagavatam by Vedavyas. And so much Krishna Leela, but still he was unhappy. Because Narada Muni came and said, you're unhappy because you told the Leela, but you didn't reveal the Prem, the Madhurya Prem and that Raja Prem of the Brijvasis. So go do it again. So then he wrote the Bhagavatam to bring out this Prem Ras of the Brijvasis. So the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is a commentary on Janmad Yasya Yataha, which is the Vedanta Sutra, and Param Satyam Chadimahi. Param Satyam Chadimahi is the first canto, chapter 1, verse 1. So in the opening or the Mangala Charna, the invocation or the beginning of the book, which establishes the thesis and the theme and the purpose of the entire book, he said, this book is going to describe the Param Satyam, the supreme absolute truth. What is truth? What is truth? What is relative truth? What is the highest truth? What is higher than the highest truth? What is the supremely highest truth? And that supremely highest truth among all truths is the pure love of Radharani for Krishna in Vrindavan, the Mahabhav. Unnat Ujvala, Ras, Prem Ras of Radharani, Mahabhav. And this book will describe the Janmad Yasyataha, the source of everything. The source of everything and all the nature of the absolute truth. So this is what he wrote, this commentary, then he revealed. So Shiva is saying, he may know or may not know. And he says, the Bhagavatam, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam. It says, Grayam, G-R-A-H, long A, Y-A-M, Grayam. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam. You have to accept, you can enter in, or you can accept or understand the Bhagavatam only by bhakti. So where do you get bhakti? So if you're not initiated by Guru, you're practicing bhakti avas. So bhakti has been given by Krishna to have that interest in all this whole bhakti field to begin with. So bhakti has come in, so you have some understanding. Because you're chanting, you're hearing, you're doing puja, so many things. Because Krishna is the Adi Guru, he's a Jagat Guru, and he picks out different individuals and gives them the mercy by placing bhakti in their heart. It comes from outside. Now, when Guru comes, Guru accepts, and then because the seed of bhakti is given by Guru Krishna. But to turn the seed into a fruit, that's the role of Guru. Because Guru gives the fruit of prem. Because Krishna cooperates with his pure devotees. The prem is in Krishna's heart, and he instills it in the heart of the disciple who has followed the process that Krishna has outlined for human beings to surrender to Guru, to serve Guru, and worship Guru, and carry on their life like that as human beings. Then Krishna will be pleased, Guru will be pleased, yasya prasada and bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katobi. So by the haritoshan, one gets bhakti. If Krishna is pleased with some jiva for his own reason, he gives bhakti in the heart. Or he directs them to Guru, then they get bhakti from Guru. But when they take diksha, then their Guru, when they receive diksha, when they surrender atma samarpan to Guru and receive diksha mantras and are accepted by Krishna, then atma sama. It says, Chirananda Moy. Krishna says, the body of the human being who surrenders to my guru, my spiritual representative, the ambassador of Krishna, Sri Guru. When one does that, then I turn his body into Chinmoy. His body becomes spiritual, Chinmoy Deha, and Atma Sama. He becomes like me. And it's like a green mango eventually becomes ripe mango. Many, many months it takes in proper conditions. There's too much wind, all the mangoes blow off the tree. There's a big flood, the tree gets uprooted, all the mangoes are half ripe, half unripe, and the whole tree dies, and all the mangoes perish. So the green mango, you can say the tree is Bhakti Abbas, and the green mango is initiation, and the ripe mango is prem. If you want to use the analogy. A green mango tree is related to prem. So that's what we call Bhakti Abbas. Some acharyas have used some term of agyata sukriti or something like this. But sukriti and bhakti are two different things. Any contact, any form of bhakti, whether it's shadow of bhakti or it's mishra bhakti, whatever it is, chaya bhakti, pratibimba bhakti. Bhakti is bhakti. Bhakti is transcendental. It's the shakti of the Lord, the antaranga shakti of the Lord. It's a blend of two antaranga shaktis. Krishna's Ladini Shakti, the ability to feel joy, happiness, bliss, fulfillment, hope, prema, ecstasy. Mahabhav, that's Ladini. Ladini Shakti Sorupini Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. So then second, mix the other energy, spiritual energy mixed with bhakti is Samvit, knowledge. So this comes in a drop in Bhakti Abbas, and it comes in a pool when you get initiated, and it comes as an ocean when you attain prema. So this is the point that he's saying Vedavyasi may know, may not know. He says, can only be understood, you can only accept and understand. Then he says, this, in other words, this is yama niyama, accept sankalpa vikalpa. You can sankalpa, you can accept Bhagavatam this way by having bhakti and by hearing from a bhakta. The more bhakti you have, the more Bhagavatam you'll understand. The more bhakti you have in the higher class Vaishnava and the more advanced devotional standing Vaishnava you hear the Bhagavatam from, the more your bhakti will increase and the more you'll understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the vikalpa. So you can accept it this way, but you can't learn it this way. And what does he say? Na buddhya, na chatikaya. Not by your buddhi, not by your vast intelligence. PhD, Sanskrit, this, that, the other thing. And not by, I have all the tikas. I learned Bengali, I learned Sanskrit or Hindi. I read all the tikas. Oh, I read all the tikas. I know all the tikas. You may not understand the Bhagavatam at all. There must be bhakti. So this is a very powerful, important verse. Aham vedmi shuko veti vyaso veti na veti va bhaktya bhagavatam grayam na buddhya na chatikaya. You should learn this verse. And that particular Bhagavatam reference must be mentioned there, maybe a footnote. Or you can look it up on folio and find it somewhere else. Because I've seen it other places. I mean, it's here and here, but if you have a verse book. So now, that's the first point. We're talking about understanding Bhagavatam or any aporasheya granth, transcendental book. The spiritual literature, the Veda, Agama, Gita, Bhagavatam, Upanishads. We need devotion and we need a devotional teacher. Many Mayavadis, very learned Sanskrit pundits, and fully self-controlled, elevated sannyasis. Totally self-controlled, elevated sattvic sannyasis, Advaitins, they study Bhagavatam, they comment on Bhagavatam, they teach Bhagavatam, they hold Bhagavat saptahas, but they don't know Bhagavatam. They will fit in this category, that Lord Shivaji is speaking of. Ham vedmi, chuko vedmi, vyasa veti na veti va. The man who wrote the book doesn't know what's in his book. Did you write this book or put this book together, Art of Chanting? Yes. Do you know what's in it? No. Then it seems like if you don't know what's in it, then how are we supposed to know what's in it by reading it? You wrote it. So that's a very powerful and amazing statement. The key point is these two points. The key point is forget about that, because that's Shiva speaking about other. Shiva's a Mahajan, mentioned in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam by Yamaraj. And also Veda Vyas is also mentioned as a Mahajan. But here in this verse, Shivaji is getting on his case. So that we can just appreciate that. But for us, the second line is most important, that we need bhakti. Grayam. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam. To accept or to enter, to understand, we must have devotion and hear from a devotee. Because someone says, I'm not a vidvan. I don't have much intelligence. I can't read all these tikas. I only have this ISKCON Bhagavatam. It only has Prabhupada's tika. And I am deprived because I don't have this book with the 11 Sanskrit tikas. And I can't read Hindi. I can't read Sanskrit. So I'll never learn the Bhagavatam unless I have all these tikas. That's not what Lord Shiva is saying. He says, not by tika. But don't misunderstand. The tikas are very wonderful and great. They're the realizations of the greatest devotees. Greatest pure devotees, they put all the realizations and understandings. But even for me to understand all of that, I have to become something great like them. They wrote great devotional commentaries in the Bhagavatam because of the elevation and depth of their pure bhakti. So I have to find someone who's Sajatya Asha Snigdha, that he has the same aspiration as I do and the same mood and the same, and he's affectionate, then maybe I can learn some Bhagavatam from that more elevated Vaishnava. So this is a very important thing. It's because many people say, I don't need to associate with any devotees. I don't need to go in any temple. I have all the tikas. I sit in my living room. I read the Bhagavatam. You may learn a lot of things. You may gain a lot of knowledge. But without surrendering to the feet of a Sadguru and humbly serving him, then you'll never realize the true meaning of the Bhagavatam, which means to surrender to Radha and Krishna, become their eternal servant in Vrindavan, full of humility and full of love and full of all the amazing qualities of the Brijavasis. So back to Sanatana Goswami's book, he's explaining the principles because he's writing a book of Smriti. First of all, you have to understand the context of the book. Because when we say context, we're talking about Kaladesha and Patra. The time, just like 100 years ago, was a different time. Ladies dressed differently. Men dressed differently. People acted differently. People are still people. Ladies are still ladies. Marriages ran in a certain way. They don't run the same way now. Things change with time. But the principle, the institution of marriage is the same. One man and the lady joined for life to raise children and realize God and serve each other or cooperate, live happily together, whatever. So that remains. But the principles, and according to Kala and Deshampatra, things change. So 500 years ago, there was so much pressure on the Gaudiya Vaishnava religion to prove its validity by the Ramanandis and Galta and Jayapur. They were questioning the authority and authenticity of the Gaudiya's right to worship Govindaji, one of the ancient Prachin Murtis of Vrindavan, who was now in Jayapur. And the king was confused because the Gaudiya's had brought the deity to Jayapur. The Gaudiya Goswamis who were worshiping Govindaji at that time. And they brought Govindaji and Radharani there for safekeeping and protection from the Mughals. And they were continuing the puja. Then the Ramanandis, they wanted to take over the deity and the puja to receive the favor of the king, etc., which means it's very good to be in favor of the king. So they said, these Gaudiyas, what is this? There are four sampradayas, and we're in the Sri Sampradaya. Sri Sampradaya, we worship Lakshmi Narayan, and we follow Ramanuja, but we worship Sita and Ram, or Ramanandis. But they worship Chaitanya, some Bengali sadhu, Brahmin, and Radha and Krishna, and I don't know, it's very esoteric. We don't find this in the Veda. They don't have any comment. We have our Sri Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. They have no commentary on any bona fide. All the four sampradayas have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So that's how they establish their authority and authenticity. But they say Bhagavatam. We all have Bhagavatam. That's 5,000 years old. So all these doubts were created in the king's mind. So then in that same time period, Sanatana Goswami is living 500 years ago when all this challenge came to the Gaudiya's right to worship of Govindaji in Jayapur. And of course, the king, Krishna, arranged for Baladev Vidyabhushan. Govindaji inspired him directly to write a beautiful commentary, Vaishnava commentary, Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary. On Vedanta Sutra, it's called Govinda Bhashya. Named it after the author. The real author is Govindaji. Sri Radha Govinda Dev Ji Ki. Yeah. So 500 years ago, so many smart Brahmins were there, and everyone was examining and looking very suspiciously at the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Are you bona fide? You don't have any smriti. You don't have any smriti shastras. You're all rag. Because mostly, historically, most Gaudiya Vaishnavas were practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. No one was living in temples and going to Mangalarti. Everyone was grihastha or living at home. There's no formal ashram type of life. That was introduced by the Buddhists. Buddhists have these ashrams where the Buddhist monks live in. But in Hinduism, there's no such thing. There's some gurukul. When you're a young boy, you go live with a grihastha Brahmin and his wife in the forest, and you stay for some years and learn, then you leave and go and get married. There's no such thing as not modern. So this whole thing changed quite a bit. So he wrote this book and said, these are the rules. The principle is, so that basically you have to understand, he's saying that the disciple should live in the house of the guru for 1 year. It's called Gurukul. Because traditionally India had a Varnashram system, and the Brahmins were the teachers and gurus. Generally, they were grihasthas. They're called rishis. And they had ashram. And the students would come there, the brahmacharis, men, young boys. And then they would samit pani shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Samit pani shrotiyam brahmanishtam. Pani means hand in Sanskrit. They would go and get arani lakri, special wood for Guruji to use for yagya. And they would wash Guruji's clothes, or they would clean the pots and pans in the kitchen after Guruji's wife cooked. So they were like almost like family members. Gurukule, a brahmachari, gurukule vasantantor gurohitam. There's a verse in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, teachings of Narada Muni on ashram dharma. So he teaches about grihastha ashram dharma, brahmachari ashram dharma, sannyasi ashram dharma. So Narada Muni in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam is teaching about brahmachari dharma. He says, brahmachari guru kule vasan dantor guru hitam. He says, the brahmachari lives in the gurukul. Vasan dantor guru hitam. Vasan dantor, he controls his senses. The brahmachari practices sense control under the order and sanction of the guru in the gurukul. And he lives in the gurukul, guru hitam. He lives for the benefit of the guru. As I said, he washes guru's clothes, he cleans the ashram, he cleans the yagyashala, all these things to assist the Brahmin. And then he receives teachings. Then he grows up to be 25. He gets some dakshin, some fruits, or some cloth or money, whatever. Then he goes and gets married. Majority, everyone. Sri Krishna, he showed this example 5,000 years ago. He went to the gurukul, and he was a Vaishya. He was a Kshatriya, the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. So they sent him to Gurukul in Ujjain. I believe it was in Ujjain, to the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. Now in another part of India, There's one Brahmin. That Brahmin's name was Sudama. So Sudama was also sent to the same school. So in this school, the guru was training Kshatriyas. In this school, the guru was training Brahmins. He was training the Brahmin by the name Sudama and so many others. He was training the Kshatriya named Krishna, Bhagavan, Vasudevanandan. So they were all in the same school. And they were out collecting firewood, Smitpani, Shruti, and Brahmanishtam. Big hurricane came, storm, lightning, thunder, vidyut. Oh, and there was so much rain, varish. They got scared. They collected the wood. They didn't let go of the wood. And they ran up in a tree and they waited there. The next day the guru said, oh, where's my children? Because the guru, in the gurukul, these are like his children. They're 10 years old. Krishna is only 10, 11 years old. And he's not home at night. Your 11-year-old son doesn't come home at night, you'll be a little disturbed. The guru wasn't that disturbed because he waited till the next day. An ordinary parent wouldn't sleep. They'd be calling the police and the National Guard and Air Force and Army and Navy and every relative and every parivar and everywhere in the world. You know, SOS, save our son. SOS, save our son. Where's our son? They would go crazy, yeah? But the guru was a little detached. So at night he took the roll call. Oh, Sudama's not here. Devakinandan is not here. Okay, I wonder what happened. Anyway, Bhagavan will take care. Then he took rest. Then the next morning, because it's all raining, what could he do? You know, it's all raining. He couldn't go out in the mud everywhere, cobras everywhere. So he took rest. Next morning, sun rose. It was clear. Rain stopped. Then he took a search party of Brahmins. I mean, what they called students, his students. And the guru called, and they went and they found the boys, Sudama and Krishna. So Krishna is showing the example. So Sanatana Goswami is showing the basic principle here, which is still intact. You're asking a question, oh, we don't see nowadays where anyone goes and lives with the guru for 1 year. Why? Because the guru doesn't stay in one place for 1 year either. So all these shastras are written in a time period. You're reading a book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, who was written 500 years ago by Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya Mahajan, Sanatana Goswami. And in that book, he's quoting books that were written 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, there's no such thing as a jet age guru, as a boat age guru, as a train age guru, as an auto scooter guru. As a motorcycle guru, the only way the guru would move from place to place was to walk. In a rainy season, you can't move. The roads are covered with 3 feet of water. So for 4 months, no one goes anywhere. So is there any such school in the world where the school does not have a fixed location? Every school has a fixed location. So therefore, Gurukul, spiritual subjects, were taught in a school in a fixed location, and the guru stayed there. If you want to learn spiritual knowledge, you would approach the guru. Tadvigyanartam sagurum evabhigachet. Evabhigachet. Tasmadgurum prapadyante. Tasmadgurum. Evabhigachet. Tadvigyanartam sagurum evabhigachet. Evabhigachet. Abhigachet means abhigachet. Means you go. You have to go to the guru. The word abhigachet means to approach. You have to approach or go to the guru. Because I met many, many devotees in the world, especially in India. They say, oh, when I'm ready, the guru will come to me. When I'm ready, the guru will just manifest. He will come to me. But that's not what our Veda says. That's not what our Shastras say. They say, you want to learn, find out the real meaning of human life, you want to attain real spiritual knowledge, then you have to go to the guru. You have to approach the guru. Go to his ashram, go to his Bhagavad Sapta, go to the house he's giving home lecture in, wherever. So the principle, we have to see when you read these shastras, you have to understand what is detail, what is principle. So one level you can examine. We can't follow Krishna, we can't imitate what is anusaran anakaran. So We say, oh, I don't see anyone doing that. I don't see anyone living for 1 year minimum in the house of the guru. Because a little while later, Sanatana Goswami says that you should stay a minimum 1 year and maximum 4 years. Then further he explains, the 1 year requirement is for someone who is born a Brahmin. A young Brahmin boy comes to the Gurukul. He will be examined for 1 year, and he will examine the Guru for 1 year. And they both are acceptable, then especially the Guru will give Diksha. And then the Kshatriya will stay for 2 years and be examined. Then the Vaishya 3 years, and the Shudra 4 years. So now, as I mentioned earlier, we're all less than Shudras. Jayate Janmate, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra. By Janam, we're all Shudras. So we should stay 4 years with the Guru, live with the Guru for 4 years. And if you live with someone for 4 years, you'll probably know something about them. You haven't been married for 4 years yet, have you? And you learn so much already, you want to run away. You learn so much after 1 year, you want to run away. So imagine how much you'll know after 4 years. So what to do? So none of that's going on. Gurus don't have an ashram, fixed ashram. They're on the move. They're on the move preaching, making disciples, or if they're Goswamis, they're on the move giving Bhagavad Sapta and making disciples also and performing Bhagavad Saptas for money because they're grihasthas and they have to maintain. It's like a profession. Profession mixed with their sabhava karma, their Brahmins. That's their adhikar to speak Bhagavatam and speak Shastra if they're learned and they know. So you can't catch the guru. I was recommending one person said, oh, I want to take initiation from some Vrijvasi Goswami. So I recommended someone who's quite famous for knowledge of Bhagavatam and very famous speaker of the Bhagavatam from a very good family, one of the Vrijvasi Goswamis. So he said, I told him the ashram where his wife stays. And then he went there and he said, Goswamiji won't be back until Radhastami. This was January.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, he's in South Africa. In the winter, he's in South Africa. He's in Australia when it's cold in Europe. He's in South Africa. Australia, Fiji, and all these places. Then when it gets warm, it goes up to Russia, this, that, France, Germany. And finally, Radhastami, he's Vrijvasi. Radhastami comes back, stays till Kartik, after Kartik gone. So he's a Vrijvasi. Great. And he said, I went twice, I can't meet him. So what about living for 1 year? You can't even meet him. I said, well, look on the internet. You can associate for 1 year on YouTube. So you still, if you want to follow the same parameters, if you want to follow the same parameters and criterion of the requirement for the Shishya and Guru, nowadays there's slight modification. We're all Shudras, so you should watch the YouTube preaching lectures of your proposed or chosen Guru for 4 years. Of course, you should let him know you're doing that also. So after 4 years, if you by chance meet him, you say, you know, I've been listening day and night for 4 years. I'm qualified. I'm a Shudra. I never met you. Who are you? I don't know who you are. You come and stay in Vrindavan, and you visit my ashram, and you serve my wife, and you do some, wash the pots or whatever, and I'll think about it. I'm gone. Bye. So it's a little different now. So the situation is not very ideal for this practice of spiritual life, the environment, the ambience, the quality of life, the quality of shishya, the quality of gurus. Everything is quite ulta and viparita, upside down. But as Srila Prabhupada used to say, make the bad use of a bad bargain. Somehow find someone that at least you can meet long enough to hear the mantras. Because the Diksha mantras are very, very powerful and they bear fruit. as proven in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, in the story of Gopakumara. He met his guru for a few moments. He received 10-syllable Gopal mantra for some reason, although he's a Vaishnava. He received that mantra, and he chanted that mantra and attained the spiritual world. And so many amazing experiences before attaining spiritual perfection. And he didn't get any instructions about how to chant, didn't get any instructions about what is the mantra art, the mantra devata, the chandas, the kilka, the bijam. He didn't get any kind of instructions about any aspect of the diksha. But he was sincere. My guru gave me this diksha mantra, this Gopal mantra. That's all he got. I'm saying that's all he got, but there's a whole Upanishad glorifying Gopal mantra. Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So just by that one mantra, he didn't have 10 mantras or 8 mantras or 2 mantras or whatever. One mantra, he had darshan of Krishna and went to the spiritual world to be Krishna's eternal coward boy servant in Sakirati. How so? It's the power of mantra and the power of the surrender and the bhakti of the shishya. It didn't depend on living 4 years with the guru or 1 year with the guru. He didn't live at all with the guru. He met the guru on the banks of the Yamuna, and the guru was in ecstasy, and by chance he glanced at this coward boy. He called him over and gave him diksha. You know the story. No, you don't know. I mean, Brihad Bhagavatamritam. You can read. Phenomenal. So that's like, well, wait a minute. Sanatan Goswami says, he's the same Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas, says he should live with the guru for 1 year. And then the same Sanatan Goswami writes Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he shows an example of a gopa who stayed for 2 minutes. His guru was in Mahabhava, and he just, ecstasy or whatever, and he couldn't speak anymore, and he became so much absorbed in crying and ecstasy after speaking the mantra that he ran away. Gopakumara said, wow, what happened? Okay, Krishnaya. And then on and on and on. He went through so many levels of consciousness, so many layers of consciousness. All those planets, all those experiences, those represent different layers of consciousness. Because you know there's the earth planet, and there are Vedas and Bhagavatam and other shastras surrounding the earth planet. There's like, it's the earth planet, then there's one donut, and then a bigger donut, then a bigger donut, a big circle surrounding it. I'm not talking about ionosphere or stratosphere or gravitational field, or I'm talking about these are the subtle layers. There's an earth planet and 10 times thicker than the diameter of the earth. Rather, 10 times bigger than the diameter of this one universe is a covering of earth, like a donut, like a circle, chakra that circles the entire earth. It's 10 times thicker than the universe. And 10 times thicker than that layer of earth is a layer of water. And 10 times thicker than that layer of water, thicker, denser, broader, bigger, wider, is fire, then air, then ether. Then the final layer, which is 10 to the 8th power, thicker than the earth or the covering of the earth, is hankar, ego. So the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Gopakumara is going through, he's traveling through all those layers, all those layers, and through all those layers of ego. Ego means self-esteem. Ego means, ahankar means self-esteem, self-identity. I am man. I am South Indian. I am American. I am woman. This is ego, false ego. So he went through all those different layers, represented by different devatas and different kings and different personalities. Those represent all layers of identification. Levels, what I said, levels of consciousness, conscious awareness, and conscious self-identity. And finally, he attained Goloka Vrindavan, where there's no designations, only prema. Everyone is dancing, prema is making everyone dance, and prema itself is dancing. Whether it's Dasya prema, Sakya prema, Vatsalya prema, or Madhurya prema. There, Everything is dancing in the Ras Mandal. Chirasi Kosh. Braj Mandal Chirasi Kosh. 84 square miles. Every square mile you walk, one species of life you'll never have to see. There's 8,400,000 species of living entities in this universe. 8,400,000. So the 84 square miles or the Chirasi Kosh represents, if you go the whole 84 Chirasi Kosh, then you don't see any more yoni. Yoni means birth. You don't take birth, and you know you take. You will no longer take a birth in any one of the 8,400,000 species of life if you wander all around the Dwadasavana Vrindavan on a Chirasi Kosh Parikrama. This is the relationship between Chirasi Kosh and 8 million and Chirasi Lakh Yoni. You understand? Is I answer you clear on the point? So the detail, we can't, it's not, it's impossible, practically impossible, for any disciples to live. There are some, in some cases, to live with practically impossible, and maybe nearby or down the street or in the same village as a guru for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years, that may be possible. So the gurus don't have much adequate time to examine the qualification of the disciple, and nor does the disciple have much time to examine the quality of the guru. He has to depend, both of them have to depend, for a large part, on the indication of Paramatma, Chaitya Guru in the heart. Chaitya Guru knows, oh, I'm looking for Guru. He's in your heart. He knows you better than you. Krishna knows us better than us. So someone says, oh, I'm looking for Guru. Krishna knows you're looking for Guru. So he will help you. And Guru is not looking for disciples. I mean, proper Guru. He's just doing his bhakti bhajan and teaching. And if he's giving diksha, he gives diksha. So someone comes and then he decides. If his heart is moved, then he may be requested. Disciple may come, or maybe hearing from Guru in a modern context, hearing for some time or reading that Guru's books or whatever, and then approaches that Guru for diksha, feeling convinced and sure and inspired by Super Soul that this is my Guru. And the Guru says, no thanks. I'm not initiating. So then you say, well, I better deepen my prayers. Somehow Krishna led me here, and it's a dead-end street, as they say. So turn your car around and go down another street till you find the home that you're looking for. All is in the hands of God. I always say, His will be. In our sweet notes, we wrote one short little statement. What was is past. What is will not last. At all times be steadfast. Chant Hare Krishna and have a blast. Radhe.